Pro Football Talk's NFL insider, Miles Simmons, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Five o'clock hour. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I do. Miles Simmons on the horn with us. He's jamming out. That's cool. Griffin's back. He was on a cruise. We're going to find out about his cruise follies at some point. Adam Hill is here. Everyone's back. This is a good Tuesday. Very good Tuesday. You're wearing a hat that says, oh, yeah, there you go. What? Talk about a timely prop. Is that a Peppers hat? I think Miles is going to be with us in a second. I see him speaking. We have a video running behind the scenes. He's there. He'll be there in a second. Do you have any bands? Hats?
Band hats.
Singers?
I don't think so. I mean, I have shirts, for sure.
Do you ever buy anything at concerts?
No.
I loathe that so much.
Ugh, terrible.
The SO loves it.
I think most of the...
I'm always like, you can search on Amazon.
Most of the artists that I have shirts for are dead, so I don't think I'd really be doing
that. Well, that's the best part. That's the best time to wear them. I wear old, like, Yankees.
Right, but I'm saying...
I only buy old Yankee shirts, these former players.
Right, but I'm saying, like, I can't buy a Biggie shirt at a Biggie concert. He's dead.
But I still think they're available.
Probably.
But you're right. It wouldn't mean as much unless you bought it in... I don't want to screw up what year he passed away. You know, whatever. 94. Not when he passed away.
Yeah. Late 87.
Right. I was trying to find where he was active.
Sure.
Miles is with us. He's just watching after jamming out to the Peppers. I don't trust him. I don't trust him at all.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Is Griffin still on the cruise mentally?
I don't know. But don't beat him up. Miles, we'll pop you up here in a second. Don't beat him up, please. He loses his confidence.
I heard him. I heard him laughing.
There he is. Is that Griffin laughing in the background, or is that Miles Simmons?
It's Miles. We're here.
Is it me now?
What's up? It's you now.
What's up, my friend? What's happening?
Hey, guys. Oh, too much.
Yeah. Opening week of NFL season. You're very chill. The calm before the storm.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah.
I usually am. I mean, I'm chill all the time. But you got me going with the Chili Peppers because that's like my favorite band. So that's part of it. Yeah.
You do love them. You saw them at SoFi, right?
Yeah, I saw them there. I saw them in San Diego. I saw them at Allegiant. I saw them at Bonnaroo this summer. I saw them at Staples twice. Like I've seen the Chili Peppers a bunch of places.
I feel...
Boy, you really know your music.
But I also feel...
Well, and you know what's funny? I've seen the Chili Peppers. They have started with Can't Stop. It's so like... That's like a very appropriate song to start a segment with me, in my humble opinion. So great job. But yeah, I mean, usually they start with Can't Stop or Around the World, or at least they used to do that. Now they've started doing Danny California a couple times, but that's more rare. So like anytime I'm like, you know, I go to one of these shows, it's kind of like somebody around me, I think at the San Diego show, was like, oh, I hope they're going to do Can't Stop. I hope they're going to do Can't Stop. And I was like, dude, like, here's the thing. It's a show in California, and it's their first one after a little bit of time. They're going to do Can't Stop. It's going
to
be okay.
You're even calm at concerts. Your role is to calm other people down. Don't get manic, man.
Relax.
Don't get too excited.
Chill.
When it was Can't Stop, he turned around. He's like, you were right. I was like, yeah, I know. Like, I mean, yeah,
was a genius to take that. I do want to go back. I can't picture you at Bonnaroo. Like, there's no way you're camping.
I was camping.
Wow.
I did. Okay. I camped. Okay. I know. No, and like, it wasn't even, Adam, you would be very surprised. It was not even glamping. It was straight up. I was sleeping on like a yoga mat for like 4 or 5 days. I don't really want to do that part again. Like, that part was dreadful. It was bad, man. And like, you know, you're in a tent with two other dudes and like, that's fine. But it just, you wake up and it is so unbelievably hot in that stupid tent. And you went to sleep at like 3-4 in the morning. And now it's like 7:30 and you can't stay in the tent anymore. So you got to get out of the tent, try to get some air somewhere. And it's just, it's a lot.
Miles Simmons, king of first world problems. Wow, that was a long diatribe about how you had to rough it.
Got me going. Well, it's because you know why? It's because of the steak thing, right? Like, Adam knows that I will send back a steak.
We know.
So that's why he can't see me camping at Bonnaroo.
I still don't believe you.
To be honest, that's fair.
Heard somebody else's story of camping and you made it your own. There's no way you slept out in a tent. It didn't happen.
I will. Okay, fine.
You probably sent back the s'mores.
Raiders. That was good. Raiders are in LA to take on the Chargers. I assume you're going to be at this game, or are you doing overall NFL on Sunday?
I'm not planning on being at that game. I'll be doing overall stuff. I know, but you know what? Like, we got Thursday, we got Friday on NBC and Peacock, obviously. You know, Brazil game, Green Bay, Philadelphia Eagles, big thing. If you don't have Peacock from the Olympics, I don't know what you were doing, but make sure you get it for this Friday night game. And then we've also got Rams at Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football, which will be on NBC. So I'll be doing a lot of stuff for that, which is why I will not be at the Raiders Chargers game. But go on.
We got it. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk.
Excuses.
They're facts. As Adam will tell us, they're facts. No excuses. Facts. True. Raiders and Chargers, who will finish with more passing yards? Gardner Minshew or Justin Herbert?
Well, I mean, who's Justin Herbert going to throw to, right? I mean, it's going to be probably the Ladd McConkey show, if things are to be believed. I mean, their first-round pick from last year, Quentin Johnston, I mean, it seems like he still can't catch, so that's an issue. I mean, at least if you're the Raiders and you've got Gardner Minshew, you can figure that the ball is going to go to Devontae Adams. The ball is going to go to Brock Bowers, provided he's healthy and he's still going to be out there. It's a good question, but it also is like it's a Greg Roman offense on the other side. So even if you have Justin Herbert, they're going to run the hell out of the football. I'll still go with Justin Herbert, just based off the quarterback talent.
Josh Palmer is still alive, right?
I mean,
he's the guy.
Yeah, he's my.
But why is it him over McConkey?
Because he's established. He's done it before. He has that rapport with him already. At least early in the season, Josh Palmer is the guy.
850-yard season for Palmer, guaranteed.
Over.
Okay.
I can tell right now how many Palmer. How often is Palmer included on your fantasy teams out of your 80 teams?
Not enough.
Exactly. Yeah, you know when he likes someone.
There's word that they love Brendan Rice.
Okay.
So maybe he's the guy. I love Quentin Johnson. He's not the guy.
Miles, utterly disrespectful of the Chargers receivers.
I felt the same way about Johnson coming out of TCU. I mean, especially in that run that they had to the national championship where then they peed down their leg at SoFi. Like it seemed like he was the kind of person that, okay, this stuff is going to translate to the NFL. So far it hasn't. I don't know if that's a Charger-specific problem, or if that's a him-specific problem, or if it's something that can be corrected going into this year. But, yeah, I mean, that's not somebody that I've been impressed by so far in the league.
I guess how long do you think it'll take, on a more broad question, how long will it take Jim Harbaugh to do what he wants to do with the Chargers?
If you mean take them to a Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to take 2 to 3 years. If you mean like make them a physical, tough team. Like, I think we're going to start seeing signs of that week one. You know, there are going to be players probably that don't fit into what it is that Jim Harbaugh visualizes or envisions, probably is a better word for that, for what the Chargers should be going forward. And like that, they're going to be able to weed those people out as the season goes on. But I don't think it's going to be much of an issue for Harbaugh to place his stamp on this team immediately. That's what he does. You know, I mean, wherever he's been, you look at what he did with San Francisco in his first year there. If we want to talk specifically about the NFL example, I mean, they were a very competitive team right away. Now, that situation is different than this situation for a lot of reasons, including the fact that the greatest player in the game right now, if not in the history of the entire game, is in their division. And that's the team that runs the division. And he will continue to run the division, I think, for years to come. But, you know, when you have somebody who is as rawly talented as Justin Herbert, that it needs to be refined a little bit, like, that's a great place to start. When you have guys like Joey Bosa, if he can stay healthy, like Khalil Mack, if he can stay healthy, like, there are pieces there to make this team very competitive very quickly. I don't necessarily think they're going to make the playoffs this year, but I think they will give teams fits. And I think in that way, they are going to be kind of that manifestation of Harbaugh.
I agree with you, but I want to, I'll just say this argument that I heard and see if your reaction is the same as mine.
Okay.
Who finishes fourth in the division, the Broncos or the Raiders?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it depends on if, like, Bo Nix is a mirage and how much Gardner Minshew falls off the cliff toward the end of the season. Like, if Gardner Minshew is a turnover machine, then it's going to be the Raiders, in because that's going to put too much stress on the defense. And that's something that Gardner Minshew is certainly capable of doing. I mean, if it's the Broncos, then, you know, Bo Nix is not as good as he probably should be after spending 87 years in the college game and meeting up with somebody like Sean Payton. But, I mean, it was your reaction, why can't it be the Chargers?
Yes.
Because that is also my reaction. I mean, it's not going to be the Chiefs, but I can make an argument for either one of those three teams. I mean, I think right now I might pick the Chargers to finish last in that division.
I'm still picking them second, but that was the answer that I was looking for. That was my reaction of,
okay,
it could be the Chargers. I mean, they did lose a lot. They are still trying to rebuild, and the image, we've talked about the issues. Like, nobody thinks that they have a receiver. Nobody's sure who's going to be the running back either. I don't know if this matters because they want to build everything through the trenches, but they do have a lot of work to do to get to where Jim Harbaugh wants to be, that's for sure.
Yeah, they do, which is fine. I mean, look, there's a reason why they got rid of Brandon Staley. I mean, there's so many things that were not working there, even though we weren't supposed to continue to ask him about them. So they moved on to, I think, the right coach for them, and they're in the right situation. They got a beautiful new facility down in El Segundo. We'll see if that helps and, you know, whether or not they can take off.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk is up with Adam Hill, Steve Cofield, Cofield & Company, 5 o'clock hour here on a Tuesday. I want to get into the schedule a little bit this week because we need to talk about some of the games. People are looking for survivor picks. The obvious one would be playing against the Patriots as much as you can almost every single week. But if you want to save some teams like the Bengals, what about Denver in Seattle? Do we have enough confidence in the Seahawks that against a rookie quarterback, they will just smash them?
No, I don't. I mean, in part because this is not Pete Carroll Seahawks anymore, right? I don't know what to expect from a Mike McDonald Seahawks team. I really don't. And, you know, I mean, I think I like Geno Smith, but I don't know what to expect from that offense, right? I don't know if that offense is going to matter. How are they going to run the ball? You know, what is it going to look like when they're going against a rookie quarterback? Now, that scheme, you'd think, from McDonald is going to make things tough for a Bo Nix. But when you've got somebody as experienced as Sean Payton and you pair him with the rookie QB, and there's some talent on the outside there. I mean, I really like Cortland Sutton. I like Dulcich as one of their tight ends. I think he's really good. So it's not like they're bereft of talent. And, you know, yeah, the 12s, as they call them up there, that's going to make things difficult. But I don't think, you know, Bo Nix is any stranger to playing in loud, tough environments. I mean, again, he's spent so long at the college game, played in the SEC, played in the Pac-12, may it rest in peace. So, like, this is not totally something that's going to be unfamiliar to him. So I that's not one that I would want to touch because I don't know what's going to happen there.
Cofield upset plays, some very mild to some getting a decent amount of points.
Okay.
This is not an easy sell, but they are at home, and they are going against Sam Darnold. The Giants plus 1.5 outright victory over the Vikings.
I don't hate that. As much as I don't like Sam Darnold, I like Daniel Jones even less. So, I mean, and I don't really know what their running game is going to do. If the Giants still had Saquon Barkley, I'd feel better about that pick. But because they're going up against a Brian Flores defense, second year hit there, you know, so they're going to be better, you know, and more integrated into what that scheme is. I don't necessarily love that one as much. I think that the Vikings should win that game.
Steelers on the road win outright, getting 3.5 against the Falcons. Falcons, a lot of excitement going into the season. Kirk Cousins, everyone's crapping on Russell Wilson. By the way, Wilson was playing fine in Denver until Sean Payton realized we got to get the hell out from under this and sabotage them. I am going to roll with the Steelers as a winner this week.
I like the Steelers too. I mean, this is one of those games where they're going to go down to Atlanta, right? And they have a Mike Tomlin coach team is always going to try to muddy things up a little bit, you know? And it probably is not going to be all sunshine and daisies for Kirk Cousins, you know, coming out of the Achilles injury, even with the Kyle Pitts, you know, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and all that. I have confidence in the Steelers defense going on the road. They want to get one for Arthur Smith.
Commanders and Bucks. We already mentioned Knicks in his assignment. Who has the best? We'll roll into Bears and Titans. Which starting quarterback rookie has the best statistical week? However you want to judge that.
Good question. Probably Caleb Williams. I mean, mainly because they're playing the Titans, right? And I don't have it in front of me. I should. Yes. Okay. So that's a new coaching staff. I like Denard Wilson as a defensive coordinator. I think, you know, he's done a good job wherever he's been and mostly coaching secondary. But I like the way that Shane Waldron, I think, is going to have that guy prepared. And this is going to be one of those games where they kind of want to send a message, right? If you're Caleb Williams, you want to come in the league and you want to show that, oh man, I'm worthy of that number one overall pick. And that's the kind of thing that it just seems like he wants to do. So I would probably say him, because yeah, that's when you're going against a team with a new coaching staff, things are going to probably be a little bit wonky on defense, especially. So yeah, I'll go Caleb Williams.
Adam, do you have a different answer for the rookie quarterbacks? Nix Daniels, Caleb Williams.
No, I think Caleb. I think he's showed, like, the level of play that he's shown. I know Bo Nix did some nice things, but the level of play that he showed looks like he's ready to step in. And he also, like, let's not forget, has an unbelievable supporting cast around him. While I really love Jaden Daniels, he does not.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't. And that's going to be one of the things. And I like the Bears coaching more than I like the Commanders coaching. You know, Cliff Kingsbury doesn't do much for me at all. I'm sorry. Like, I was so unimpressed with what he did with Kyler Murray in Arizona. So that to me is where I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, man, Daniels is really talented. But, and I like Dan Quinn as a head coach, but as offensive coordinator, I just, maybe it will work with Kingsbury when he's not in charge of the whole team, but that's something I'm just not impressed with.
Are we excited about, and it's really for you, Miles. Miles Simmons is with us, PFT. Are you excited about this season for the Cowboys or the Browns? And I wonder on the excitement level, especially about the offense, what that means for this total, because it seems like a low number for a Cowboys game. It's only 41.5, but what are the Cowboys this year offensively?
I mean, I'm not sure. And I, you know, CeeDee Lamb coming back, you know, they got him in the building at least a little bit earlier than, you know, the 49ers did with Brandon Ayuk. Well, not in the building, but on the practice field in that case. And Trent Williams, obviously, he's back today after agreeing to the restructured deal. So I think the Cowboys are weird because they're not really better in any other way, except for the fact that they've got more experience kind of in the system. So it's Dak Prescott, you know, another year with Mike McCarthy. He's playing for a big contract. You know, unless something catastrophic happens, he's going to get one. You know, you bring back Zeke Elliott, that doesn't really do that much for you. You know, Dalvin Cook, ooh, like, okay. So I don't know. I mean, the thing that's interesting is that the Browns are going to have the advantage of being able to look at tape and actually study what this offense is going to look like. You know, I don't anticipate that Mike McCarthy is going to come out and have all kinds of new wrinkles and things like that. So when you have that kind of advantage and the Browns are playing at home, they're going to have the dog pound behind them. Like, that's a really good defensive unit. I think that they're going to play well, and I think that that's part of why the total is so low. And then you can kind of flip that and say a little bit of the same thing about the Cleveland Browns. Yeah, they've got Ken Dorsey in there as offensive coordinator, but you have Deshaun Watson, and you just have absolutely no idea what to expect from him. Even though the last time he played a game, it was at Baltimore. He led the Browns to a really, really nice comeback victory. But, I mean, that's been almost a calendar year since that happened. And you just don't know what that's going to look like. And the Browns' run game is not going to be as explosive without Nick Chubb, at least for the early part of the season.
So I have a question for Miles about branding. How do you want to brand yourself? In the case of Griffin, our former defensive end, Division I football player, He is 6'5", 249. Should he just go with 250? Because I noticed you were quibbling with big Desmond Watson, who is probably my favorite player in all of football, maybe the history of football, who is listed at 6'5 and 449.
It was so funny watching that game because, you know, like you look at defensive players or just players in general, and you're like, wait a minute, that guy's freaking huge. Because everybody's big on a line on the football field. I was like, he looks much bigger than everybody else. So you go to the Florida page and you're like, wait a minute, what is he listed at? And it's 449, which, yeah, at that point, just round up. He's a big dog, man. Give him 450. I think 450 sounds a lot better than 449, but in a certain way, 449 sounds a little bit less like you're lying. So I guess the same could be said of 249, right?
Yes.
You know, it sounds a little bit less like you're lying and you're just rounding up to make it sound better. You know, I can see it either way, but I think if you're a big dog, just call it, go 440.
I feel like you're wrong. I feel like 449 sounds like you're lying for sure.
Oh, really?
Like you got to go 448, and then you're like, okay, that sounds like a more accurate.
Okay.
Like Adam goes with 6'4 and a quarter, and I've always yelled at him. Like, dude, there's no quarters.
Probably, don't do that.
What do you do? Are you 6'3 and 5'8?
6'3 and a half.
I hate the half. Yeah. I don't like the half.
Yeah.
Let's go 6'4 or 6'3.
6'3 sounds so short.
Right. 6'3 sounds so short.
I would love to be able to call myself 6'3. Right. Probably get more matches on a dating app. It'd be better.
I'm gonna ask an important question. Can you be 6'5, 449, and not really look fat? Like, that guy doesn't – he's just – massive.
Yeah, he just looks big. I mean, he must be in some kind of shape, right?
Yep.
Because presumably he's got to pass a conditioning test or be on the field. And he's playing football, which is not for the faint of heart. So, I mean, I guess so.
Okay. Most important question. Adam Hill is here. Miles is here. Will you see each other even for a couple of minutes? Will you get breakfast? Do you break bread somewhere?
So.
Will you get a steak?
Miles stays on the beach. I feel like he doesn't actually go into public much. Just a beach guy.
First of all, I usually see whoever from the RJ crew is there. Last year, I only saw Heidi and Ed because Adam was somewhere else. I believe it's Sizzler. And Ed,
you were invited?
No, okay, because it was my birthday weekend, and I had my phone on Do Not Disturb, and he invited me to Sizzler when I was at dinner with my friends. So that's what happened. That's why I didn't see him the last time. So hopefully I will see you this
time.
Maybe I'll go to Sizzler.
Is that a birthday tradition?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing you do on your birthday? Do Not Disturb.
Yeah.
Turn my world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because it's always on, baby. It's always on.
Freaking Florio. Blowing up your phone all the time. Come on, Mike. It's his birthday.
It's true.
All right, Miles, we'll have a wonderful opening week. Again, give a pop to all the fine work you're doing in the coverage with Peacock. This is a big weekend with the opening of the NFL.
It certainly is, and I will be on PFT Live tomorrow morning, so you can catch the replays of that all day on the Peacock app. Go to the NFL on NBC YouTube page and check that out. Obviously, Ravens at Chiefs on NBC on Thursday night. Then you got Green Bay and Philadelphia on Peacock on Friday night. Then you can round it out on Sunday night with the Rams and the Detroit Lions on NBC. So big weekend here at NBC Sports.
Very professional. Nice job, my friend. We'll
Thank
talk
you
to
very
you
much. Good work. All right, take care, guys.
See you at Sizzler.
Miles A. Simmons up on Twitter. Would it surprise you that I got to double check this. These snap counts seem very low. And it looks like that Desmond Watson played a lot. You know, you always like to look with especially the super big fellas,
sure,
if they're just rotational guys and they're playing, you know, 18 plays. So the numbers I'm seeing on PFF, pretty good. Top five defender. I mean, they didn't play a good game, so
no.
I don't know what that means. But he, you know, he actually did pretty well.
He's a beast. Tough to run on that guy.
On the way back, I want to give impressions of things that were overreaction Tuesday here in college football. The Rebels, UNLV, win at Houston. They win 27-7. I'll tell you about the history of shutouts with the school because there haven't been many. And Jackson Woodard, the linebacker, is piling up honors.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Tuesday, Cofield and Company. Reminder tomorrow, Wednesday, Barry Odom Radio Show is back. It's every Wednesday, Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo, $2 Miller Lights during the show. The coach on the scene, big crowd last week, want an even bigger crowd this week. Home opener against Utah Tech. No number is out yet. We'll be curious. Week two is always interesting in setting numbers, and especially if it's against an FCS team, and the Rebels are off a good, solid win on the road against a Power 4 team in Houston. LSU and USC was interesting on a lot of fronts on Sunday. One of them was, if you were not in the stadium, could you see the game? This is our long national nightmare of TV carriers and TV providers warring, and where are the losers? And I'm not exactly sure what happened in terms of who lost coverage and what they lost and what popped back on, but DirecTV is beefing with ESPN and Disney. So what's your knowledge of this?
Yeah, I mean, I was asking around. So, yeah, there's a coverage dispute between DirecTV and ESPN/Disney. Right before the game, they kind of put it out. Okay, DirecTV says no deal's done. We're cutting them off of our service until a deal is struck. From what I understand, I try to talk to as many people as I can, and it's funny, as you know, you talk to 10 people.
Yep.
10 people that have DirecTV has 10 different answers. And they're like, okay, what did you have on your TV? It was on. It was not on. From the best I can gather from talking to people, it was on here because it's ABC, and our ABC affiliate is not a Disney affiliate. So it's only ABC that are owned by Disney were cut off. The non-Disney ABC channels, which I think we have here, were not cut off. They were okay. ESPN is cut off from DirecTV. I know I was out yesterday at a spot where we had a TV. I guess it was DirecTV. It was in a pool. There's DirecTV there, and we couldn't watch ESPN. So I assume that it's off of there.
It's off.
Yeah. So DirecTV has cut off the Disney channels, but not all ABC affiliates are Disney channels.
There's, on the ESPN family of channels, there's 10 college football games on Saturday. What if it's not on? What if they don't come to an agreement by Saturday? What is everyone going to do? I've talked to a couple people that are like, I'm going to give it to Thursday, and then I'm out. And here's the thing. You throw out a thread like that, they don't care.
No.
I don't think corporate bigwigs hear any of our complaints. 10 college football games, you know, of national level on the ESPN channels, you may not have access to any of them.
Well, I think in the old days it was so much more difficult to switch that they had this power. And they could take it off and people would be outraged and they would say, bring my channel back. Now, if you get to Saturday afternoon Saturday morning here at 8:58 a.m.
You got a bell.
No, but you can do it.
Yeah.
Before you couldn't.
Yep.
Now you're like, oh, streaming? Okay. I can sign up for a streamer in literally 20 seconds.
And I don't know about everyone else. Like, I don't switch very often. I know I hemmed and hawed about one TV provider and I kept it for way too long, but like, I think most people, once they go elsewhere, that's where they are.
Yeah. Until they give you a reason to switch back again.
And I don't know who's to blame on this one. I have no idea.
No.
So I don't feel like picking between ESPN, I guess, since we're affiliated with them. Yeah! DirecTV, you sons of...
Get them, guys.
Yeah, I'm not going to... I don't know. I just know I want to watch my games. And here's the other one. We talk about sports bars. Sports bars, putting it in quotes, around the city.
Many have DirecTV.
And the TV situations. Well, there's a couple things. They have DirecTV. I think most do. But what happens at a lot of places on NFL Sundays and even on a Saturday when you're looking for games, there's a lot of places that have the access. They don't know how to get it.
Yeah.
There are places they don't – and it's nothing against bartenders because, you know what, sports fans are – for the most part, we're not the money makers for a bar. It's the people playing the machines. So if they have a demand, you better get it on TV. But they don't know where games are now. You realize on Saturday when there's it's just a complete kerfuffle?
Well, they won't have them.
They won't have it.
Yeah.
They're not. I mean, they should know this week. If you probably want to put on ESPN, you should know there's something going on.
Yeah. At some point, you would think you would have put it on.
So every Tuesday, check that. Every other Tuesday, we're going to be over at Oasis Bar and Grill. That's our new Tuesday partner. Live shows, Cofield and Company on the road, Decatur, south of Trop. I was talking to those guys today, and they're like, oh, no, we'll have it. Because they like that place is a sports bar. And so they're like, when ESPN went blank, they're like, no, can't have this, especially for, you know, college football weekend, can't have it.
Smart.
So they've worked on a whole setup.
They know what they're doing.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I had a family / visitors in town, extended family, and they were looking for the Oklahoma State football game, and they called around to some local joints, and the place they called lists itself as a sports bar. It absolutely is not. I know that. And the person there, and again, I'm not ripping on bartenders. That's, you know, sports crowds. I understand. It's not how you make your money. Yeah, they had no idea. And I also told them, like, that place has 6 TVs. Like, they're not going to have Oklahoma State on ESPN Plus.
No.
It's not going to happen. And then, but I'll give them credit. The bartender called back. I was like, no, I found it, right? Ohio State, we got it. And she was like, and hung up. I'm like, relax. No. Relax.
I will say I was at Oasis one time, and there's like, you know, 14 TVs around the bar or something,
mm-hmm.
And one of the TVs kind of it froze. You know how TVs will do sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna move and sit over here. Yeah. Watch this TV. They're like, we'll get it. Like, okay, like, settled. I'm okay. I'm not. Yeah. I can just move to the next seat. But they were like insistent on fixing the TV I was watching.
Well, go check out our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill, Decatur, south of Tropicana. 24/7 breakfast, a menu that includes chicken tenders to a Reuben, a French dip. They got a great New York strip for a pretty good price, less than $25. The Oasis Kitchen pumping out dynamite local bar food. That's like, I'm so big on bar food, and this market's changed so much. These guys get the job done, 24/7 kitchen. They've also got a $10,000 gaming drawing every other month. They got the Rockin' Monday Night Football Party with John and the Monday Night Maniacs. It's crazy. It's Oasis Bar and Grill on Decatur, south of Trump.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we'll spend a couple minutes breaking down UNLV and Houston. Now it's 2 days in the rearview mirror. We weren't on yesterday for Labor Day, which... By the way, I appreciate Lotus Broadcasting giving us today off. Labor Day is a very important day for me. I can get into a whole thing, but that was a big win. That was a really big win for UNLV. Whether Houston is going to be a good team or not, they scheduled a Power Four on the road. They went down there, whacked them, basically got them to quit in the middle of the game. It's good stuff. I'll give you some of the PFF ratings in a couple minutes. The highest Pro Football Focus rated dude on the offense was offensive lineman, veteran right tackle Tiger Shanks. Checked in with an 84.6, which is really, really good. His run blocking was off the charts. I had a chance to talk to Tiger today and just asked him, hey, you know, as you're out there, you know, you're taking care of Houston. Like, how did it feel? What did you see?
It hasn't been too many times in my career here where offense and defense are both firing on their hot cylinders. Obviously, our defense played lights out. Jackson Woodard, Jalen Catalan, they played amazing. The D-line was supplying pressure all day. I think just as an offense, we got to do a better job of just capitalizing when they make those big plays, you know, and almost expecting them to be in that position and then us capitalizing off it. So it's really cool. I think we're all playing with a lot of confidence.
So let's talk about how you guys played on offense. First of all, what's it like now? You've had guys who could run a little bit, but Sluka, I mean, to pick up 5 first downs, I mean, it changes the whole game, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. The play that sticks in my mind is he pulled it, and it was kind of the wrong read, and the DN was still standing there, and he makes a move on him and gets the first down. I mean, there's just some intangible things that you just can't coach, you know? It's just being a ball player, and that's what Sluka is, so... Any chance that we can get the ball in his hands, let him go make plays. I mean, you saw it.
Now, there's always stuff to build on. We're with Tiger Shanks. You guys had a couple plays called back-to-back. I think one of them was a hold on you. When you look back at the film, did you get kind of get robbed on that? Did you grab him? Was it quick. What was it?
For sure, grappling. For sure, hold. Just a bad, poor set by me. Bad hand placement, and just let him collapse my waist, break down my core.
Watching the defense, you practice against him. You practice against him in the spring. Was there anything that surprised you about individuals, or the attack, or the tackling, about your defense?
The pressure they were putting on them. I mean, obviously, we go against them every day, fall camp, practice. We see their exotic pressures a lot, but to see it work out on a Saturday, just pretty much exactly how they drew it up, it was cool to see. They were in a frenzy.
So you've been here for a while. Let's go back to the beginning of your career. You just talked about, you know, different elements on a hold, right? Where are you better? Like, what areas do you look back and you're like, oh, my God, from year one to now?
I would say from a standpoint of not looping my hands as much. Obviously, it's still something that I have to work on a lot, and it's something that kind of gets me in trouble every now and again. But I think I've gotten better in that regard of just trying to keep my hands inside and not letting the ref have a chance to, you know, maybe give me a ticky-tack call, you know. But it's all about technique and working that stuff at practice.
How does a go-go impact the offensive lineman? Misdirection, changing the angle of blocks at the snap?
Go-go, the go-go offense is very unique, I would say. We have so many motions and so many, like, we'll show one picture and then move to a completely different formation. So that's kind of one thing where, as an O-lineman, you have to expect the box to change. We have a lot of calls where we know when backers are going to be running out. They're going to be going with some of the eye candy, and just sticking to our tracks, sticking to our landmarks. That's really, really important.
What are some of the things that Vance Weiss has instilled?
Play with an edge, I would say. That is the one thing from previous O-line coaches that I feel like wasn't as much of a big, like, coaching point. But I think Coach Weiss's main coaching point is that, you know, we're the tone setters of the team. The team goes how we go, especially on offense. So it's like when we can go out there like we did on Saturday in that first half and establish the ground game, it just opens everything else up, you know?
We go back to when you committed here, you came here. Why? Why'd you come to UNLV in the first place?
To be honest, I had a good relationship with the old staff, Coach Arroyo. He came from Oregon. I'm from Oregon. How I got that relationship actually was I used to go to the University of Oregon football camp when I was younger, and he had seen kind of the developmental process that I went through as a high school kid. I was a little bit overweight, and then I was able to lose that weight into my senior year, put together some really good film, and then he just saw that, offered me. I looked at, you know, all these great facilities, and it was an easy decision, really.
You know, I never got to ask you last year, and we're talking to Tiger Shanks. I never got to ask you last year, while some guys decided, you know what, new staff, I'm out of here, why'd you stay?
I just wanted to be committed, you know, committed to a program. I think in this day and age, the transfer portal, everyone's looking for the next big opportunity, the next big thing. And in my opinion, I think it says a little bit to be at a program for 5 years. Just the loyalty, sticking with a team and, you know, riding with your guys. Because, I mean, the coaching staff may have left, and we definitely had some transfers out, but the nucleus was, you know, kind of the same guys.
It's kind of the crazy thing about the turnaround is that there is a core of about, 12 to 16 guys who have been here the whole time.
The whole time,
and
yeah.
That doesn't happen with a transfer portal.
No, it doesn't.
That's got to be a big part of going into a game like Houston. Like, you got both schools had a lot of newcomers, but I kept pointing out, like, but there's a core here.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's
definitely
important.
And I saw that. It was easy to see. Obviously, for me, I was kind of the one making the pitch to people, like, hey, you know, I think we might have something going here. But yeah, I feel like we just kind of got together as a group, and we were like, you know, it's my senior year. And obviously, Amani Trigg, right, had a big part to do with that, I would say, because, I mean, we had played together for so many years. I was like, you know, it was kind of like a decision between the two of us at that point. We were like, I want to play together, you know, again. So we decided to stick it out.
So he was kind of dubbed Uncle Trigg.
Uncle
Trigg. Is there an uncle on the line now? Is there? Are you the, like, who's the vocal guy on the line now?
I would say it's probably me, Chopper Jack.
Okay.
Are the big unks of the line, kind of get everyone going.
There's some young guys the way. I don't know how much playing time they're going to get, but the freshmen, you were big. You needed to sculpt it a little bit. There's some big dudes in that true freshman group.
Big dudes. I see a lot of myself and a lot of those guys. But they're good. I mean, they came in and a lot of them made it into the two deep almost right away. Vicari, Purvis, those two guys, I mean, they got a real shot at playing this year. I mean, Purvis is already on the field goal team. So, I mean, they're making use of their time, which is good to see.
That's a great kid, Tiger Shanks. Right tackle, has been here since the Arroyo era, played as a freshman. He mentioned being heavy in high school. So he was, I don't know if he was over 400 pounds, but he was up there. And then slimmed down his senior year. Comes to UNLV, you're sold a dream, right? Arroyo gets blown out after a couple years. Tiger Shanks has had multiple opportunities to go, you know what, screw this place, and leave. Four of the top players from the roster left before Odom even got started. By the way, Kyle Williams had a monster game over the weekend. It's pretty crazy. Thinking back to the talent that Arroyo had, that they had Ricky White and Kyle Williams in the same receiving core, and now Kyle Williams is, I was almost going to say, one of the best receivers in the Pac-12, but they're on the Pac-2 now. But Shanks stuck it out. And then even after last season, I'm sure the offensive line market, Griffin, in college football was like freaking probably the second most heated behind quarterbacks. There were big payouts going out, and you got an experienced guy who's got 4 years under his belt at right tackle. He had big numbers last year, and he stayed around. So that is one of the biggest things that Barry Odom has done, is that he has shuffled the roster to the tune of 50 new players each of the last 2 years, but they've located the guys that they absolutely had to keep, and they kept them.
Yeah, it's an awesome story. And honestly, just being a Las Vegas local, it's exciting to see the UNLV football program going crazy and getting hyped up like this. Big win to open up the season. Those players on that team have to feel just exuberated, especially guys like Shanks, who has been there forever. He's been through multiple coaches. He's been through failures and losses. As a player, you know, I played for a lot of losing programs, and it's not fun. So the fact that Barry Odom comes in and he's doing this for this program, those guys have to be ecstatic.
Well, that, you know, that was one of the big things. You feel a vibe when you go on the field, and I didn't play like you guys did. But, you know, I'm around it enough. You feel a vibe around programs, and, like, winning programs just expect to win. So in the Mountain West Conference, like Boise and Air Force and San Diego State, they carry themselves a certain way. And I'm not saying UNLV football is there yet, but there was a little different feeling going into that Houston game. And Odom even said it after the game, the whole Power 5 or Power 4 thing, and, you know, how big a win. He's like, you know what, there's 130 schools. How about we just line up and play? Like, kind of saying, like, and I don't think they wanted to say it, but Houston is also in a transformation, a transition. Mm-hmm. What I saw was, one, they're smaller defensive linemen, because Houston had three guys who were like 6'6", 6'7", 325, but they were just getting crushed by the 6'1", 295. Defensive linemen, they just knew the game better. They knew the game plan. They were beating them in the spots. They killed them. And then you could see as the game was going along, especially the offense, they started to break because they started losing confidence in their quarterback. Donovan Smith got dinged up. He had no time to throw. The backup comes in. He's just a running quarterback. Actually, the three they had, a Hawaiian kid, a lefty, he was actually pretty solid. But part of it was they had as much or more talent. I'm telling you, folks, if you go to this game, this home opener, just to watch Jackson Woodard and Marcel McDuffie, this is like one of the best linebacking duos in the country. And I don't say that stuff lightly because I watch a lot of football. They were monsters. They are legit, you know, Power 5 and Power 4 guys. Woodard just didn't get respected at Arkansas. He's playing now. He's a monster. I mean, 6 sacks, 10 tackles for losses. I don't care who you're playing.
Straight dogs on that defense for the Rebels. It is going to be a good year, Steve. I don't know why, but I feel like the Rebels, UNLV, maybe a big year in 2024.
Oh, they got a shot. Last year was a big year. Maybe they can do better. Remember, you can go to unlvtickets.com, get tickets for the home opener. Ticket packages for four folks as low as $56, so take advantage of it. Season tickets still available. unlvtickets.com. Griffin, Adam Hill, we'll see you.